Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim's column today talking about the Twins and some injury news for them. Jim, update us on that, first of all.
So, Yoan Duran is going to start the season on the injured list with an oblique injury. Doesn't sound serious. Sounds like they're being very cautious. Caleb Thielbar is going to start the season on the injured list with a sore hamstring. Again, not serious, but they're being cautious. Anthony DeSclafani, who was projected to be their fifth starter, was kind of losing the battle to Louis Varland for that job, but was originally projected to be, you know, a bottom-of-the-rotation type starter. One of the guys they received in the Polanco deal is probably headed for season-ending surgery, elbow surgery. Probably means Varland's going to open the season as their fifth starter, and probably means that Brock Stewart and Griffin Jack's going to have to do a lot of end-of-game work with Thielbar and Duran out and Varland in the rotation. And, of course, I wrote that I would have liked this team. I think this is going to be a very good team, but I would have liked it a lot better. I would have thought it had a lot more high-end capabilities if they had gone the Carlos Correa route and signed Blake Snell to a short-term expensive deal, but obviously they've decided they're just not going to spend money right now.
Yeah, what did he just sign? 2 years and 64 or something like that for Blake Snell with San Francisco?
Yep. So last year he was the Cy Young winner in the National League. He wanted a mega deal. He wasn't finding the mega deal. His agent is Scott Boras. When Carlos Correa went through the same process, didn't find the deal he liked, he was willing to sign a short-term deal with an opt-out after each season with the Twins. He did opt out after a crazy offseason. They ended up re-signing a long-term deal with the Twins. But that was the idea. Is, okay, get a lot of money, you know, one year or a short deal, re-enter free agency, see if the market is better the second time around. That's what the Giants are doing with Snell. I would have loved it if the Twins had done that with Snell.
Yeah, the guy's a flamethrower. He's had an up-and-down career like a lot of pitchers have. Yes. He's been, I think, two-time Cy Young winner. He's had other seasons not so good. And then there's Jordan Montgomery, also the big left-hander that remains unsigned as well. You think that he might come off of his wish list of a massive deal if there one isn't out there?
I don't know what he's going to do. Boras has cut a million mega deals, but he's also pretty creative. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what Montgomery's going to do. Montgomery's original hope was to get a deal for like 5 years, $175 million, something like that. I don't know what he's willing to come down to, but if the Twins weren't willing to do a short-term deal with Snell, they're certainly not going to do a long-term deal with Montgomery.
Yeah, that's for sure. So they go into it. So then you look a little deeper into the minor leagues, because if they can get away with just five starters, that would be a miracle. Simeon Woods Richardson, first on the docket. What can you tell us about him?
They liked what they saw out of him this spring. He has talent. He doesn't have overwhelming stuff, but he has some ability. They think there's some upside there. They've seen glimpses that they think they can work with. The other possibility here is that, you know, if they get Duran and Thielbar back early in the season, and the other thing here is, you know, sometimes in April you don't even need your fifth starter
right.
Very often.
Yep.
You know, Varland could be a swing pitcher. He could be a reliever for a while. Or, you know, he could be your long reliever. There are a lot of different ways to go here. But what you're talking about is you get into the season, you do need your fifth starter. Mm-hmm. Somebody gets hurt because somebody always gets hurt. What do you do? I think Woods Richardson is a possibility. And honestly, I haven't looked at their minor leaguers a lot lately. Mm-hmm. But they do have two, three people they have high hopes for. Maybe one of those guys is ready when they need that kind of person. The other option is if your bullpen, when healthy, they have the possibility of having an incredibly deep bullpen. Mm-hmm. And maybe the better option than throwing out somebody you think is a mediocre fifth starter is having a bullpen game. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you have maybe that's where, Griffin Jacks goes out and pitches two innings, and then you back him up with a bunch of bullpen guys, knowing that you can also send anybody who gets worn down to the minors and call somebody up for the next day.
Yeah. Another guy named Festa, who I see just on their prospect list, certainly a name that we, you know, may or may not see this season, probably likely would, because it takes a lot of guys to get through the season anymore for baseball. As you referenced, a deep bullpen, but an oblique, that always scares me, the oblique. For me, it's a lot like a calf. because it can feel fine for a week, and then you come back and play, and it re-injures itself. So timeline sometimes, I don't know, bleak is, what, 4 weeks? That takes us into the season.
Could be. They feel like they got it early, but you never really know. He's a massive guy. He wants to throw 103 miles an hour. He needs to be fully healthy. So I don't know what exactly. They're not giving a timetable. I don't know exactly what the timetable is. Mm-hmm. It feels like they're being extra cautious, and maybe it's a 2 or 3 week injury, and they just want to make sure that he doesn't hurt himself trying to get gear up for the regular season. But we don't really know.
Yeah. Justin Jefferson is going to be featured in a Netflix documentary. Is that right?
Yes, he's going to be. It's going to be called Receiver, and it's basically a take on what happened last year with quarterback, which was such a big hit, and I thought it was really well done. So a bunch of good receivers, including Jefferson, are going to be featured, and it'll be really interesting because he. You know, he hasn't been your classic diva receiver, but he's also not afraid to say what he thinks. Mm-hmm. And he can't be, he can't be thrilled that Cousins is leaving, and he doesn't really have a top-notch quarterback to play for. I think he's waiting to see what the Vikings do. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how candid he might be in that situation.
Yeah, and especially since he doesn't have a quarterback. A contract with the Vikings yet either. So he's the next big domino with the Vikes. How do you see this playing out in the end? Is he going to get his deal, or will the Vikings trade him?
Let's remind this is important for people to remember because we talk about Justin's contract, and people sometimes get the impression that he might just leave or something, or leave in free agency. They could keep him for two. He's got one more year in his deal. They could franchise him for another year. They could keep another 2 years without signing him to a long-term deal. Obviously, they'd rather have resolution. They'd rather have a deal that they can structure to help them with the salary cap. They'd rather keep the a great player in house. Mm-hmm. But whereas doing the podcast with Jeff Diamond, we both had the same idea. 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, that hey. The best way for the Vikings to proceed here is get Cousins done on a short-term deal, bring back Jefferson on a deal that'll be huge money, but actually will help you short-term in the salary cap, Well, that's the way we thought they should proceed. Of course, once the NFL at large got to the combine and the Falcons started talking to Cousins, everything changed. Cousins is going to leave. Now you have Jefferson without a quarterback. So I think that Jefferson is going to wait and see what the Vikings do at quarterback, if the Vikings are serious about winning, if the Vikings are serious about paying him a massive amount of money. And I'm not as confident as I was a month or two ago that all that's going to go swimmingly.
Mm-hmm.
What we really don't know about Kwesi is whether he has some grand plan, and the grand plan was always to let Cousins walk and to clean the books and have and he said right now they have a lot of salary cap space. Next year they're going to have a lot of salary cap space.
Yep.
What we don't know is if he is trying to do a grand tear down and rebuild, in which case trading Jefferson might make some sense to him, or whether he really does want to win and turn this thing around quickly, in which case he absolutely needs Jefferson.
And what better way to accelerate a young quarterback's progression in the NFL than to have a guy like Justin Jefferson, who is one of those glue guys and is always going to be open and somebody could always look for. That's a great way to accelerate a young QB.
Yes, and so I would recommend, they haven't taken my recommendations much, but I would recommend signing Jefferson and having him be the fulcrum of your offense.
Yeah.
I think that's what O'Connell wants.
Yep.
I can't imagine O'Connell not wanting that.
Right.
I would imagine that Kwesi wants that too. But there is that little bit of doubt just because we don't really know what Kwesi thinks.
Yeah, that's right. And one other thing I read, and I can't remember my source, but that it's possible that the NFL might be looking into the Falcons for tampering with Kirk Cousins. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. And if you saw O'Connell's interview at the Combine, he's basically letting, he tries not to say too much, but he always kind of gives you a hint what he's thinking, and I kind of appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't play poker face. He doesn't play dumb. He act like a jerk. He kind of tries to steer you in the right direction, even if he doesn't say things bluntly.
Mm-hmm.
And he really sounded bothered by what he saw at the Combine. The Vikings to my knowledge, really feel like that the Falcons tampered heavily. Listen, we all know that conversations go on that aren't necessarily pure, but there are lines that people don't want to see their competitors cross, and I think the Vikings feel like the Falcons went way over that line.
What would be the repercussions? Let's say they press the issue, the NFL investigates, they find there is legitimate tampering. What could happen?
If the NFL found legitimate, over-the-top, more than pedestrian tampering, you could see the Falcons being penalized a high draft pick, a massive amount of money. The draft picks where you really hurt a franchise. These franchises are also rich. Finding them doesn't do much.
No.
I would think you would see them take away a draft pick. Now the question is, would they do something that hurts the Falcons and helps the Vikings? Would they make it a kind of a make good type situation, or would they simply just use the Falcons as an example and just punish them?
Yeah. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.